Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Okay, it is Dom time. President Trump scheduled to be signing some more executive orders. I believe that one of the biggest will be dismantling the Department of Education. Again, you can't just by fiat get rid of it. I think it'll attempt to do that, but Congress has to do it. But what it's going to put on paper is this vehicle for every progressive idea and threat. He's not going to be able to do that anymore. That's what they're trying to squelch. All right, so we'll get to that. And we're working on this. Jasmine Crockett, who's become the face more every day of Democrats, more than AOC even, the squad, talking in her real accent. She went to fancy schools, not the accent she tries to perform in order to try to be more in the some kind of ghetto rap
street cred.
Yes, apparently the high school she went to was $35,000, the college $55,000 a year. Parents apparently affluent. We'll play that for you. But first, let's talk to Montgomery County Commissioner Tom DiBello, because where I write, people that I really love, they bring you stories you don't get anywhere else. If you haven't discovered Delaware Valley Journal. Delaware Valley Journal online, they had a big piece the other day from someone who was kind of a whistleblower and their own reporting about Montgomery County, where they've had a homeless issue, particularly in Norristown, deciding to place these people in this hotel. Now, this is never a good idea, in my view. You see what happened in New York, I believe, for $10 million. And the report on rampant drug selling and prostitution. Pottstown is the location of this. And we'll find out what else Tom is up to on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Tom, welcome back. Delaware Valley Journal, are they accurate in this? Is that what has happened?
Well, first off, Dom, thanks for having me on. And maybe in the upcoming days, I'd love to come back on and talk about the whole Department of Education, because I spent 12 years on the school board, so I have a lot of insight related to that. But as far as that article, I have to say this time around that it's not accurate. And obviously, it was, I guess when you were talking about it the other day, my phone lit up and people are calling me and they're saying, Dom's going at you guys about the homeless thing. And I'm like, what? What's going on?
Well, let's go through this, Tom. First of all, as a principal, though, why put them in a hotel in Pottstown?
So here, the county's done this in other places. Now, when we talk about it, it's a motel, actually.
Okay.
And it's different than what they've done in New York City. New York City, they were just putting up homeless people or illegals in and paying for their rooms and all that. We haven't even done this yet. We haven't even taken over the property. That's going to occur in a week or two. We were actually up in Pottstown last night because we got to go for a zoning variance to be able to do what we want to do, because it's not hoteling. Or what we are doing is Pottstown had it was considered one of the hotspots in Montgomery County when it came to homelessness. They have about 150 or so people are homeless up there. So what we are doing is moving them some people are on private property, some was on public property, and we're going to move them into this motel. But what we're really doing is it's all about the services, the wraparound services that we're going to be providing to be addressing the issues that they have or have, you know, the, why they became homeless. Either it's mental health or if it's drug or whatever it may be. Sometimes it's just economic. Mm-hmm. And then we could do job training or do get them, help them find a job. I mean, there's a lot of services. So that's what we're going to be doing. It's a lot different than what people believe, like what's happened in the big cities. And instead of, and this has been done in other places where instead of buying buildings or building buildings and all that, when there's a lot of motels that certain times of the year aren't as busy as other times of the year. So it's really taking advantage of a location. And really, this is a short term because in Pottstown, the borough council already approved. There's a group called Beacon of Hope that's going to actually be building a facility over the next 2 years. So what we're trying to do is put it's a kind of a stopgap to start working with these people, get them off the streets, get them into programs, you know, if they're mental health, get them in the right places. So it's not necessarily about getting them in a room as much as the services that we're providing to get them back on their feet.
So you dispute then, Tom, that there's not drug selling and prostitution coming out of this motel?
I don't know what's going on there now. We haven't officially taken over the facility, so I'm not going to say there is or there isn't. I do know that once the county takes over, that won't be happening because there's going to be on-site staff. But
Tom, my question is, are you paying for it now?
No.
Okay.
No, we're not paying for it now.
Okay.
No. There's a private invest a planters that has taken this facility. This is where the idea came from, and over the winter was more or less using as they're using it more or less as a code blue.
Okay.
But they're actually shutting down when we take over. That's part of why.
All
you know,
right.
we're taking over, and it's so anything that's going on there now, if any, which I don't believe. I mean, a lot of motels in areas always have a certain reputation of certain things that may or may not be happening. But I will tell you that when we take over this facility and we're working with these people to address their needs, none of that's going to be happening. Because if it is, That's gonna be a whole other issue that I'll be all over. I will be all over it.
All right. Well, Tom, keep us in the loop on that. I appreciate you coming on to clarify, and we'll talk once we see this Department of Education stuff come down.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Tom DiBello, commissioner out there in Montgomery County. All right. I'll talk to my friends over at Delaware Valley Journal. It seems this no-tell motel, $10 million. You hear his side of it, and given the other two commissioners there, it wouldn't be surprising if that's what they engage in. All right, a couple things to update you on. One, I'm going to be on Newsmax at 3:50 today, and one of the things they've told me they want to ask about is there's a lot of contention going back and forth with so-called Republican consultants and advisors telling them, do not do town halls now. If you do town halls now, these are activists. We had somebody on yesterday where we were talking, not just local activists, but maybe paid people organized through the usual national suspects, MoveOn.org and others. I don't doubt that. But Republicans at this point cannot avoid doing town halls in a reasonable way. And we've talked about the art of doing this. I think you got to do the town halls. Encourage more people to come out, though, that might be supportive. That's what I'm saying to do. If you hear of a town hall in your area, go there and support what is widely popular, DOGE. Now, it's true that I would have preferred at some point earlier on here that Elon Musk meet with the Republicans, hear their concerns about how to coordinate with them to get Congress involved and do this. He did talk with Rand Paul. Rand had a plan that would cut $500 billion that he's been working on for, what, 10, 15 years? And I think would not carry any of the media attacks easily that are happening on Musk and his crew. So you got it right there. Let's execute what Rand Paul has talked about. He's the guy forever on this. I'm glad they met. I'm glad they went back and forth, shared some of the ways of tightening this up, because we want it to succeed. And overall, it's very popular. And the stuff the president spoke about the other night, we've said forever, finally people are listening on this. I made the point earlier today, too. I really like the assembly people we had on from Jersey, who have the Jersey Doge going on. The only thing is, though, we need a little bit more action. I was hoping to bring them on sooner rather than later to start the ball rolling with some examples of the misspending, the arrogance in Jersey, like all that money spent on the Rutgers football team for DoorDash, over $400,000. And I kind of co-join that with, this is where I think Republicans should be going in Jersey. I'm just getting the sense among some of these Republicans, they think that whatever Trump did is something that we don't have to acknowledge as much. You know, and I think Trump, by his policies, did incredibly well in New Jersey. And we have to flavor that into this governor's race. All right, let me go to Chris in South Jersey. Chris is on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Chris, welcome in.
Hey, Dom, how are you doing today?
Good, Chris.
So I'm going to put this nicer than I did when I was talking to Henry. Republicans have got to grow a backbone and stop being afraid of yelling Democrat, because right, that's all Democrats do. They're going to back off having town meetings because, oh my God, a Republican, a Democrat or a fake Republican might stand up and yell at us. Then let them yell at you. We're going to lose everything that we have accomplished in the last 3 months because Republicans won't stand up and fight for what they need to fight
right
for.
And the only thing I would add to that, too, is, you know, there's a line, and you say that at the beginning, where if you just keep over talking, it won't shut up after they got the answer. They can be removed. You can remove people for this.
Exactly.
If they're just going to chant and overwhelm. I've experienced this with the sitting governor of Pennsylvania at the Art Museum, of all places. And the civil affairs people of the Philadelphia police, Chris, said, well, what about freedom of speech? We had quite a confrontation. Can you imagine hundreds of them just screaming so that we can't do the event?
That's their favorite tactic.
Yes,
and
yes.
And Republicans just keep backing off and backing off because, oh, we're all gentlemen and we're just going to do what's right. Baloney. You need to stand up for what is right. They need to have all this action figures. And I do think that Musk is wrong by not giving them all the information they need. We need to know exactly what they're cutting and we need to know why they're cutting it. And when they come back with this, oh, they're going to stop all the cancer research in the country and they're going to take away all the
Social
Security.
And Chris, you know what? Let's center in on that. You made another great point there. There's the fault line. I would have a czar on this. I would have the person working with Musk, and he's got to talk to this person. That's what the president can say. We're going to rebut. We're cutting cancer research for kids right here and right now. And it's effective to do that in the manner you just talked about. So, Chris, give me your person you think is underrated.
Betty Nesbitt Green. No, Graham. I'm sorry, Graham.
Yeah.
Yes.
And why?
Do you know who she?
No,
because
I don't.
She invented liquid paper.
Ah, okay. Great invention. Thank you. We got a little phone problem there, but okay. I like what you said. Actually need a point person on this issue. Come on, let's go to the heart of where we've heard them going today. Some of them have decided, all right, we're not winning on this Doge thing. It's too popular. We're going to go after Musk as starving cancer funding for children, like the kid the other night, And we'll play with that. That's why we're objecting. We played you the sound of that. All right, this has to be rebutted. Armed Republicans with it. She's right. Musk met with them. That could have been done weeks ago. Would have been better. Hear their concerns, what they need to do. Then they go out there at these town halls. And they continue to hold them and to put the message for it. It's a judgment call. We've seen this before, though. If someone just will not shut up after you gave what the answer is and the crowd cheered or booed, then you can remove them. I mean, there is a line here to the questions that you take. Take as many as you can. I'm not talking about those stupid two-minute clocks at the school boards. I'm talking about a legitimate dialogue. They say something, you answer them. It's judgment. And then if they're just these activists, sometimes paid, then what you do is to tell them, I've answered, we're moving on, there's other people here. They won't relent, then they're removed, just like the guy with the cane the other night. Now, it takes judgment, it takes guts to do that, but they should not back away from town halls at this point, because it's not true, certainly, that these are MAGA people, even Republicans, that are showing up and trying to make this case. By and large, they're AstroTurf, either local activists, like the people we had Don Trump Jr. and Dan and I went out and had a back and forth with them. They were telling us how many rubles did you get paid in tonight. We started looking up exchange rates and giving him an idea.
It's a good joke.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's good. We had some fun with it. It's harder when there are hundreds of them. But you have security. And again, you make a reasonable line and then you move forward. President Trump, to this point right now with before he signs, he just made a statement on Doge. We have to be precise. We need to keep the best people. All right. Exactly. That's the train here. What this indicates is there's popularity to this. We're now refining it to take away any arguments. And I gave you the cancer argument, and we're going to be looking at that ourselves to rebut that. You have a point person. That's all that they do. They look at this. They see, is there any evidence whatsoever in all this cutting, which has to be done quickly, otherwise you won't get it done. Put that back in if it's true in any way, shape, or form, and then go on the offensive with this to say, you didn't stand the other night for that kid because you want money for cancer research. No, you didn't stand because you're soulless and classless. All right, we'll take more calls coming up. A lot of other things to get to, including this former senator that in Philadelphia, state senator that we routinely went after as Democrat corruption. Broad and Liberty says, looks awful funny, using campaign funds to buy Phillies season tickets. All right. Right now, though, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Yes, we're playing for a pair of tickets to see Joe Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra on Saturday, April 5th at the Keswick Theater in Glenside, Pennsylvania. For tickets, visit joeconklin.com. All right, Henry, what do we have today?
So today, I'm going to try and tie the side question, who is that underrated historical figure,
right,
with a story you were talking about today. So this person, who I will be playing in a second, broke ground as a first of their kind in the executive branch. I kind of want to keep this vague because if I give away too many details, I think it'll be a layup. So, first of their kind, groundbreaker in the executive branch of our government. This person also a very talented pianist. So much so that this person got to play with Yo-Yo Ma at the nonpartisan Kennedy Center.
Okay.
How do you like that? So I'm going to play that clip of this person playing at the Kennedy Center with Yo-Yo Ma, and you got to tell me who is playing the piano.
All right. Sounds pretty tough.
Hard going up against Yo-Yo Ma.
Oh, Montgomery, tell us what we're looking for. If they get
this
one,
we are looking
quick.
For the person playing the piano.
Right.
Dan just got in my ear on this. I'm supposed to say that this person's last name is a food as well. So that might give it away.
That'd be a good clue. That might be a little clue.
I wanted to keep it vague and keep it
out. Might be
we'll see. That might have been too much already.
That might have been a lot I was processing. All right. Hit us with that. You're off to see the great Joe Conklin. Apparently, the White House now saying it was fake news. They will not sign executive orders today. Okay, that's not fake news. It's a mistake, all right, because I think he is going to sign it. They're recalibrating it. That's good, because people want the Department of Education to be dissolved or at least greatly diminished, and that may be happening soon. All right, 855-839-1210. Get in with the answer. We'll go to your calls, too, on everything that's out there. I like what President Trump just said the last bit. They got to be precise with this. Now, that's a sign, again, of their recalibrating this after that meeting yesterday. They're trying to come together to have a unified front to continue to take out this waste, fraud, and abuse. All straight ahead.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right, playing for a pair of tickets to great Joe Conklin. Some think now the clue was a little bit too much. I don't know. This was a hard one. Just somebody playing the piano there. I'm thinking, what are you going to do? We got to give a clue here.
Well, that's why I was trying to be so coy and mysterious with this groundbreaking person, the executive branch, and then
this Gen Z over here is angry that I use pronouns.
I am because it slipped me up. It slipped me up. He got in my ear, said her. And I was very specific by using they, so I wouldn't give it away.
There you go.
I'm not very 2025.
A hair would have helped here. And I once had kind of a back and forth with this person that
really?
I'll explain to him. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go to Jonathan in Jersey now. We'll see if that clue gave it away. All right, Jonathan, who's playing the piano there?
That is Dr. Condoleezza Rice.
Yes, it is Condoleezza Rice. I guess the food gave it away in the end. Pretty good still, though. All right. It was a shootout.
Was it Jane Pizza?
Yeah. We were invited to the White House. We're in the tent there, et cetera. And I just think Condoleezza Rice thought it was, you know, the home court advantage. We're supposed to just throw softball after softball. I put a little spin on the ball, and then we were off to the races there, you know, with it. You're not allowed. You're in the tent at the White House here.
Ooh.
Type of stuff. But Condoleezza Rice, when she was on The View about a year or two ago, it just outclassed them unbelievably.
Well, yeah.
They were talking about race, and she was friends with the little girls blown up in the South during the Civil Rights thing, and it was just disgraceful. I knew at that point she never would be the Daily Person or Weekly or anything like it. So anything more on that, Henry?
No, just always wanted to grow up to be a concert pianist, and that's what she's doing right now.
Or NFL commissioner.
NFL commissioner, possibly the coach of the Cleveland Browns.
You don't want to do Bill Clinton playing the saxophone?
Okay.
Ooh.
All right, well, that might be coming up. All right, so it's 855-839-1210. Here's Jasmine Crockett, prior to becoming arguably the most prominent, when you watch cable news and everything else, and she's relatively effective in duking it out versus some. I think she's superseded AOC and the others at this point. Does this sound like Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett now? Here's her real voice, her real accent, I think, before all this stuff.
Absolutely. First of all, it's good to see you in the new year. You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress. It's just not what my plan was. But what I've always decided is that I would step up when there was a need.
Listen, he up there, he's hearing all kinds of nonsense and bullshit. Let me just be real.
All right, so, we had to bleep it pretty quickly. Now it's pretty hard to. Yeah, there is a distinct difference. She went to a $35,000 a year high school. She went to college. It was $55,000 a year. Apparently, the parents are affluent. Nothing wrong with that. But why affect this street cred thing? Well, because the street cred thing's more interesting than an affluent black woman coming from God knows where. AOC has the same background. She's not from the South Bronx. She's from a suburban New York background that was much more middle class than this. So it really, the media doesn't cover this. But when it comes to J.D. Vance, you may remember during the campaign, they wanted to allow the governor of Kentucky to say that Vance really didn't have it that hard. Why is he always talking about these things? He had incredible difficulty. I think Hillbilly Elegy lays out all the toxicity of what his mother went through, et cetera, et cetera. All right. So, you know, we got this dispute going on, too, now. Fox is on an executive order watch. Let's not call everything fake news. You know, that's like a little bit over the top. Will he sign the executive order today or not? He's going to sign it soon on the issue of dealing with the Department of Education, which will curtail them. That's a good thing. And Hunter Biden, in a court filing, said he cannot meet his expenses. You know, I think this is with the one woman, again, trying to meet all these expenses because his income has dried up. No one is buying his art anymore. Surprise. After they're out of the White House and they can't curry favor. I wonder how much money his art, alleged art, brought in. All right, 855-839-1210. You got the side question. This is Dan's coming off. Today is Remember the Alamo, Sam Houston, an underrated figure or a figure that we really never talk about how great their exploits were in any walk of life. That's what we're looking for. As we get to nicer weather, though, my mind turns that we're going back to Italy with a special emphasis this time on where we're going. You know, we've talked about the Grand Tour of Italy. We've done that twice with listeners, Ro and I. And this time we're adding to it. We're going to Sicily, the crossroads of ancient civilization, the Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the Normans, the Spaniards, the Germans, the White Lotus crowd. They all, Sicily, they've all left their cultural mark. I'd like you to join me and Ro for the sun, the sea, the unparalleled beauty of Mediterranean Europe and Sicily. And Calabria. And Ro wants to trace the family roots. We'll be like Frank Costanza. I know there's another Costanza in that visit. Is there a Pagano there? Paganos were big pizza makers, at least here. I don't know in the old country. We'll get to that.
Cars, too.
That's right. And if you're headed to Europe, you got to go with Ken Chase, the very best conservative tourist. Just the name tells you what this is about. All this, $55.44, including airfare. The dining events every time are legendary. We're talking bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, stunning Montreale, the Palace of the Normans. All you have to do, the website's easy, go to conservativetours.com. You'll see that tour. Or call and ask for the information for the Dom Tour, 888-733-9494. We will even enjoy the Godfather Tour. Visit the locales from that movie. I think Dan may have been coming back from the hospital at that point. And everything's going forward. When I said, it's on the list.
Is that actually happening?
No Godfather 3 sites allowed on this.
Okay.
We will not tour Godfather 3. It would be a sacrilege. Oh, I won't be on the tour. You can go. Not going to. I don't know if there's any Godfather 3.
Go get a cup of Joe.
I think most of them would be Godfather 2 will be going to. The crown jewel of Sicily has to be Taormina. And I'll see you there at Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. This is Italy. This is Sicily. Ancient, charming, picturesque, and always a country within a country. I will see you in Savoca. All right, Dom Giordano's show. Just a reminder, and we'll get him on as soon as possible again. Dr. Marty McCarry had his confirmation hearing today, and I'm looking at the breakdown on Twitter. First of all, the hair, a giant new pompadour, even more than before. But Dr. Marty's saying he would head up the FDA in the confirmation hearing. He didn't hold back. He said poison will be removed from our food. Regulatory agencies will be cleaned up. Big Pharma's grip on the FDA will end. Public health will come before profits. And a multitude of other things. It didn't seem to be contentious, but he did open the hearings by highlighting how the Make America Healthy Again movement is revolutionizing American health. We now have a generational opportunity in American health care. President Trump, Secretary Kennedy's focus on healthful foods has galvanized a grassroots movement. All right. Our guy, the guy we've been with from the beginning of COVID, the head of the FDA, and Dr. J, that guy with the long name, Dr. J, from Stanford, will be in there, too. It's quite a trio. And then there's Robert Kennedy Jr. All right, side question, though. Real good one coming off. Remember the Alamo Day? Sam Houston, underrated. Don't hear as much about him as other American heroes. Who is it that you don't really, we don't recognize as much as we should? Joe in Columbus, New Jersey. Hey, Joe, good afternoon.
Hey, Dom. Real quick. My guy was part of the Rat Pack. Not many people knew he was basically the godfather of the Rat Pack. Guy by the name of Joseph Gottlieb, otherwise known as Joey Bishop.
You really think Joey Bishop's underrated, huh?
Well, all the other guys, you know, for their talents, yeah. They got the fanfare. They had the Joey Bishop show, if I can remember correctly, right?
Yep.
Like a variety show.
Yep.
But he was always in the wings while the other guys were, you know, they were the performers.
Yeah, when you got Sinatra there right away, it's kind of hard to stick out. I get your point.
And people forget about Peter Lorre as the fifth.
Lawford, excuse me. Yeah, the Kennedy connection. Lawford. Yeah, they had everything.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good one.
I thought Joey never got his just due.
All right, Joey Bishop. Let's go to Joe in Exton. All right, back-to-back Joes again. Hey, Joe in Exton, afternoon. What do you have today, Joe?
Yes, hello, Dom, and good afternoon.
Afternoon.
My person who is underrated is Melania Trump. She is multilingual and understands the culture of the people whose language she speaks. And in this way, she advises her husband, Donald, on a manner of approaching foreign dignitaries.
Thank you, Joe. Always with that influence. I can see Joe in Italy sitting back with his feet up, talking about days at the University of Florence. All right, 855-839-1210. That's what we're looking for. I still think the big story of the day, if you just joined us maybe this hour, and we'll be fleshing out more, is Gavin Newsom, of all people, on his podcast with Charlie Kirk, the big conservative influencer. But sure, Charlie, I'm a big sports guy. Who is it? Doubtful. Very doubtful. And then saying, yeah, it's about fairness in sports. We shouldn't have boys or men. And he didn't say, well, there's only a small number or whatever. He said that. He's a guy who signed a bill recently that would not allow parents to know if their kid is going by a different gender, different name, different pronouns in school. So why is he doing that? Well, he's running for president. He's got a good sense on this one of what a loser this is. And the big impact is, what are Democrats going to say now, particularly Josh Shapiro? I think this is a breakthrough here. And I think Newsom is really testing the waters. I haven't seen anybody attack him today and say, how dare you? You've abandoned the movement. He's testing, is this something you can renounce and get away with? We'll see. Now, I'm sure there are Democrats who will put people up. You'll see them tonight on cable and others saying, this guy's a phony. He really doesn't believe. There'll be all sorts of repercussions. But it indicates we're winning. Well, you know the numbers. I think it's higher than 80-20. It's 90-10 on this issue. The point is, though, he is a big-time Democrat, top three or four candidates to be their nominee. Why would he do this? Because he'll say anything. True. And this anything is something you can't say, at least on paper. He also, in this podcast, talked with Kirk, and it's his podcast, about how Kamala Harris really was brutal in not renouncing this, and how the Trump people ran great ads against her. We know that, $40 million approximately. They should have spent more even. Continue to run these. They're losing on it. They will lose on it. It cannot be, no matter how skillful. You can't spin this in any way, shape, or form. It's an obvious thing. And I think Trump senses it, and his people sense it, and they're going to play with it right through the midterms. And all Democrats can do is say, what about X? All right, let's go to Bill in Montco, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Good.
My underrated person is not someone you've never heard of, but Lieutenant Frank Haskell at the Battle of Gettysburg during Pickett's charge as General John Gibbon was wounded. And a lowly Lieutenant Frank Haskell saw that the situation was perilous and went to George Meade and said, General Gibbon requests reinforcements, which was a complete fabrication. Meade said, okay. Haskell took the reinforcements, the Pickett's charge to the angle, and repulsed Pickett's charge.
Well, I would tell you, yeah, thank you for that. We went to Gettysburg this past summer. I would tell anybody, it's incredible, the tour and the tour guides. Even the place we stayed had the bullet holes in the wall. I mean, it's real there. Hadn't heard of Haskell, though. We'll take a look at that. Thank you, Bill, for that.
Ask for restaurant recommendations. I give you a couple, and you go to none of them.
Oh, that's right, though. Yeah, well, how would you have Gettysburg restaurant recommendations?
I don't remember. Maisie's father is a big RV guy, and apparently there's
RV things. You know, I avoided the downtown. There were thousands of motorcyclists there. Oh, that
Why'd
weekend.
You avoid that? You should go party with them. It's Daytona Bike Week this week, you know?
Oh, God.
Want to go down and ride some bikes?
Just the constant around that circle there, the constant. We see it already. Enough already. God. Bro, well, I don't find it distracting. And then by about a day in row, oh, yeah. Well, that's also that I'm saying Dan wouldn't call me here. He knows I'm in Gettysburg. Something must be happening.
Oh, that's right.
That's when President Trump was shot, right around that time.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it was. All right. It is the lightning round next. You do that at 855-839-1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Hey, kid, what's your name?
I can't remember.
Where are you from?
I can't remember.
Can't you remember anything?
I remember the Alamo. Yeah!
What's that from, Henry?
That is Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Well, we remember Pee-wee, too. Yeah. Yes. All right.
Hopefully not for the reasons.
Yes. That's pretty good. I like that cut. Yeah, remember the Alamo Day. Democrats remembering that, but they're fighting figures thing that we played earlier. But hit us with somebody who is not recognized enough in your view. Get your name into the hat. Let's go to Dwayne in Valley Forge, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dwayne, afternoon.
Hi, Dom. My figure in the decades in the 1860s, there was a book that was more almost as widely circulated as the Bible, and this book was said to have galvanized the abolitionist movement and turned sentiment against slavery in the North. And it was Uncle Tom's Cabin by Harriet Beecher Stowe. When Abraham Lincoln met her, he said, "So you're the little woman who wrote the book that started this great war."
Yeah, the very powerful stuff. I kind of think you're overselling slightly there, but powerful though.
Well, you got to oversell. It's the lightning round.
I know, but I do think we remember her. But I'll hear the others too on this. Joe in Bordentown. All right, Joe, who's yours?
Mine would be Revolutionary War hero and Hispanic giant Peter Francisco, who was in five major battles, and in one of them, he put a 1,100-pound cannon on his shoulder that carried it off so the British wouldn't get it.
Now, that's a guy we want, definitely. Let's look at, all right, get that Dale guy on the fact checker. Let's see what he says. It was only 1,000 pounds. It wasn't 1,100.
I don't think Jalen Hurts could squat that much. You told me this guy can?
Whoa, this is the guy we should have at the tush push.
Seriously.
I don't know if he's carrying the ball. You know, I thought of William the Refrigerator Perry more than Jalen Hurts being pushed by another guy bigger.
Seriously.
For the tush push. They should have. Yeah, who is it that said we ought to do that? That's the genius. Was it Sirianni? No, I don't think so. It was somebody else that came up with it, probably.
It might have been Doug. Okay. It must be someone in Sirianni's camp.
Probably.
I mean, it's Steichen.
Yeah. The Earl of Tacconi. All right, Earl. A lot out there. What do you have?
But listen, my children, and you shall hear of the five-day ride of Israel Bissell. Paul Revere gets all the credit for saying the British are coming, but he was only made it from Boston to Lexington before he was arrested by British troops. Israel Bissell was a post rider. He started in Watertown, Connecticut, at 10 o'clock in the Watertown, Massachusetts, at 10 o'clock in the morning on April 19th, and rode down the East Coast on the postal roads, stopping off at various towns, saying, "The war has come. The war has come. To arms, to arms." And he made it to Philadelphia 5 days later on April 24th at 5 p.m. He rode the entire route and alerted the entire East Coast that the Revolutionary War had started. And his only claim to fame is that the comedian Robert Wool said that he sounds like a Jewish vacuum cleaner.
Well, Bissell is the vacuum cleaner company. Okay. Joe of Westchester, the last shot. Joe, who's yours?
Yes. It's the unknown engineers who worked for, like, in this case, Reginald Ferguson. He started the in 1900. Everyone knows Alexander Graham Bell, but nobody ever heard of this guy. And he led for the invention of the cell phone, and also for radio transmission of the human voice, and that led to radio broadcasting.
All right, thank you, Joe. All right, Dan, you've been in and out here, and what do you say?
One of the ones I was able to hear in and out from the show was Robert Ben Salem's fantastic answer.
Hedy Lamarr was a great answer. I agree. Henry, how about yours?
Yeah, I liked Hedy Lamarr as well. I'd like to also throw out there Joey Bishop, because it seemed to be getting a lot of traction on YouTube. And I like the Lieutenant Frank Haskell story from Bill and Monco.
I like Hedy Lamarr, too, though. In the end, I thought that was pretty good. Dan, on Dawn's show today, talking about the families, Maisie's family. Everything's underway, and as far as we know, going well.
Yeah, there's a big surgery for the mother-in-law.
Right.
Everything seems to be going well. She's over at a great hospital locally, and she's in surgery right now. But looks to be good, Dom. Thank you for asking. I appreciate
your
support.
You're welcome, and we'll talk with Dan more about that tomorrow. Next, I'll be on Newsmax at about 3:50. I think the question... Boy, talk about lobbing one down the middle of the plate. This is Jamie Moyer at his worst, saying, should Republicans do these town halls? Their consultants are saying, no, do not do them. Oh, my God. Just absolutely the wrong message. Do them. Henry, you got something else?
No, that's it. Okay. Do the town halls.
All right. There you go. All right. We'll be here tomorrow, too, with another great side question. The winner of the week, thanks to Gallows. They'll provide that $50 gift card tomorrow for the winner. Richie always next. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.